Let's do this, the Cult of Hockey podcast. By the faithful and for the faithful, I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here today with Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm a little PO'd, I have to say.
Yeah, me too.
Anytime you lose the Battle of Alberta, and anytime you have a 2-0 lead in any game and wind up getting 0 points out of that game, not even a Bettman point, it's an opportunity lost. And this was a 4-point game against a tough divisional rival, a divisional rival who apparently is tougher than they are, judging on what I saw in the third period. That's really the discouraging part, was how bad the Oilers got beat with the game on the line.
It's the way they lost, Bruce. I was just so frustrated with so many things that game. I mean, it was a fantastic first period, especially from an Oilers perspective.
Yeah. I mean, there'll be people out there who say, that was a great game. That's what we wanted to see all the time. But I wanted to see a little more control.
They were just outskilled, outworked, outcoached in the third period and lost the game because of it. And it was a very frustrating loss to watch from my point of view. So, Bruce, we're going to do the two good things, two bad things, and two numbers podcast. What's your good thing?
Well, my good thing is mostly the penalty kill. And the Oilers, they had to kill a ton of penalties. Draisaitl took 3 individual minor penalties. Cassian took a triple minor on one sequence. I mean, how often do you see a triple minor, 6 penalty minutes to 0, against the invisible man, Matthew Tkachuk, who managed to draw, by my count, 5 penalties tonight.
And did he get any himself?
He didn't take any penalties himself while seemingly punching every Oiler in the head at some point during the game. This is unbelievable what that guy can do. It's like carte blanche. You take a shot and the other guy gets a penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct. Anyway, don't get me started.
I didn't want to see him get hurt, Bruce, with that slew foot. You never want to see a player get hurt. But if there was ever a guy who had it coming, it's Tkachuk. He slew footed Davidson.
I haven't forgotten or forgotten.
And what went around, come around on that play. I'm glad he's not hurt, but man, that was horrible. What he did to Davidson.
Anyway, it was a penalty, and Leon got his penalty. And Cassian, I don't know about a triple minor. He deserved a double minor.
The PK,
well, what I liked was how they answered the bell, despite the fact that they had Kyle Brosiak in sick bay, Tobias Reeder on injured reserve. They had, of course, they just traded Ryan Strome. Well, that's 3 of their major penalty killers gone. So they had to press Alex Chiasson into action, and he was tremendous on the penalty kill, scoring a great goal, shorty, making a beautiful pass that sent Leon in alone for a shorthanded breakaway that he couldn't cash. So Chiasson was one of the guys that answered the bell with extra PK duty. And really, they worked their way through that sequence of penalties and came out of it, you know, alive. At the midway point of the game, Calgary had 7 minutes and 48 seconds, I think it was, of power play time, and they'd scored 0 goals, and Edmonton had scored 1. And in that same amount of time, Edmonton had 1 second of power play time in which they scored.
I thought they had scored in the last second.
They did. There was 1 second showing on the 4-on-4 clock when that puck went in. But
they got screwed there out of that power play time.
I don't know why they don't do video reviews on stuff like that. When they do look at the clock in other situations, you know, buzzer beaters or icings with the, you know, last minute of play or stuff. They'll adjust the clock. Why wouldn't they look at it there? Anyway.
Okay, so my good thing, Bruce, are you done with your good thing or?
The penalty kill. The first half of the game, the penalty kill was what had Edmonton in front.
All right. Yeah, just one bad moment. I think Benning got a little out of position. I think that was the goal where it kind of went to the side of the net. Mm-hmm. And then the guy put it on net and there was a big rebound. Was that Ryan's goal?
Nurse couldn't clear it. That was the 2-1 goal after the Larson penalty that turned the game.
Yeah, that was a real shame. Okay, Bruce, my good thing was Milan Lucic's hit on Mark Giordano. Uh-huh. And it was part of a third period that had Oiler fans absolutely euphoric, is the truth. It was quite a roller coaster ride that game. And it was revolving around Milan Lucic for many fans, including me. That hit, though, was as good a legal open ice hit as I've seen in years. He just absolutely blasted that guy, completely legal hit. And that's how Lucic has to be used. He's a hitter. He will stand up for players and keep him on the third or the fourth line in that role, and he can help you win. But that was a hell of a hit. And the Oilers' physical response to Calgary was excellent, was strong. This is a tough physical team. Unfortunately, hockey's kind of moving past that, isn't it, Bruce? It's a different game in the NHL right now, and we found that on the third period. Let's go to your bad thing.
Well, my bad thing is the third period.
Okay.
Edmonton just completely, it seemed like they just spit the bit. I don't know, like they ran out of steam, whether it was all the penalty killing early and the fact that the bench had been shortened to three lines. They had, you know, they were missing a couple of veterans. Marody disappeared out of the game completely. They basically cut her down to three lines, and all of a sudden the puck was in Edmonton's zone for, it seemed like, minutes on end, David. They couldn't win a battle. They couldn't get the puck out. They'd be,
Bruce, it seemed like
it around the boards, like playing, I don't know, pig in the poke, trying to chase after the puck. And then when they did get it, they would chip it to the nearest flame. It was just, I was just screaming at my TV.
It seemed like a tier one.
Somebody make a play.
Yeah. Seemed like a tier one Bantam team against like a tier five Bantam team or tier six Bantam team. It was that dominating a performance. The Oilers were just, it was just terrible.
Nothing left. I don't know. Six, the shots nothing. On net were 18-5. Mm-hmm. Calgary scored their two goals in the first half of the third period. And then you think, well, maybe Edmonton will push back a little bit. But nope, in the last 10 minutes, there was probably three different sequences where the puck was in Edmonton's end for a minute or more. And they just could not get the damn thing even going slightly north.
Bruce, you know what was killing me in that moment is this. Okay, they put Lucic on the top line because McDavid got run a bit and Tkachuk was hustling. Okay, that's great for a couple shifts, mm-hmm. but Calgary gets back in the game. And as soon as that happened, as soon as Milan Lucic got on that line's shut down. They stopped getting scoring chances. And they stopped by and large because Milan Lucic was giving away the puck, as he does now. He just does it constantly. The play dies on a stick again and again and again. So the coach, okay, you made your statement. I fine. But what you've also done is you've put McDavid and Draisaitl together. You essentially have one real good line for scoring mm-hmm. goals. If you put Lucic with them, you've neutered that line, essentially. And that's what happened in the third period. They have McDavid and Draisaitl together. All your eggs are in one basket. You're hoping that line does something, and that line does nothing. And the other lines, of course, you don't have the two top centers leading their own lines. They're all on the one line. Bruce McClellan, this act is getting so old. Like, I have had enough with this coach. Like, I would fire the coach. I would fire the coach and get a new coach.
Well, that's your bad thing? Or is that a good thing?
Yeah, I know that's harsh, but I've been building, like, it's just like two things came together. His pets and vets thing, his overuse of certain players in positions. Like, Lucic can help your team. He can help your team win, but you can't overuse him. And I think it was, you know, McClellan had one job, Bruce. Get the right players on the ice. Get the right players on the ice. And the right players were not on the ice. And that top line was going nowhere fast. And no other line was going anywhere fast either. And they were related, and we've seen this. I mean, I think it's time to give someone else a chance. He's had a good run, 3 years, 3.25 years now. Good run. Couldn't get it done. Time to move on.
I'll let you have the last word on that subject.
I'm not asking you to agree or disagree, but what do you think?
I'm getting mighty frustrated. Like, Edmonton looked like a poorly coached team in the third period.
Yeah.
They couldn't contain. They couldn't win battles. They had no structure on the rare occasion they did have a puck. They, you know, their own zone. I mean, they kept Calgary somewhat to the outside, but they never won any battles. And I mean, I don't know how much you put of that on the coaching, but the structure was lacking. And that I do put on the coaching.
Well, Peter Shirelli said this week he's looking for two things, mm-hmm. compete level and structure. And man alive, that was just one of the worst periods of hockey
Yeah, they had lots of compete years. Level in the first two periods, but it was largely MIA in the third period. I'll take some grief for that. Some people will say that boys gave it all they had till the end. But
the other thing is, you have Joel Quenneville sitting there. He's won three Stanley Cups. Mm-hmm. He coaches an offensive style of hockey. You know, it has to be awfully tempting to think about bringing in Joel Quenneville.
Maybe we should start a GoFundMe, eh? I mean, McClellan's going to cost. I mean, they're already paying McClellan and they're committed to him. And Joel Quenneville will not come cheap. He was getting something like $5 or $6 million in Chicago. So, playing fast and loose with the owner's money there. But assuming that's a limitless supply, then yeah, that's an option.
Excuse me.
It might be an option. Quenneville might say, I don't want anything to do with Edmonton after all these years of futility.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any relationship between Quenneville and this current group of Oilers. Poobahs, Shirelli, have they ever done Team Canada stuff together or not?
I would imagine. Quenneville must have been an assistant. Babcock was always the go-to guy, but Quenneville must have been an assistant in there at some point, I'm sure.
I wonder. Anyway, Bruce, what is your number?
Oh, my number is 8-4-31. That is the Oilers' performance in the defensive zone faceoff dot. This is an issue I brought up before a couple of times in our post-game podcast because the Oilers have been giving up goals off of lost faceoffs in the defensive zone. And in fact, tonight's winning goal came off a lost faceoff in the defensive zone, a sequence of four faceoffs in a row where the Oilers won the first one and immediately iced the puck so they could have three more faceoffs, each of which they lost, each of which ended up with a shot that Koskinen froze, and they never could win the draw or get the puck back until it was in the net. But 31 on the night, like 31, like that's a huge, huge number of defensive zone draws. And while the Oilers, I mean, if you look in the neutral zone, I think they were something like 11-4 and 11 wins, 6 losses in the neutral zone, where it doesn't really matter really which team wins the draw, and 8-4-23 against in the defensive zone. They just got crushed on the dot, and it cost them. I mean, you can make a case it cost them the game.
Well, that's
a problem, and it's been a problem for years. And I mean, where is the winger support on these lost faceoffs? Like the center ties it up and the other team's winger swoops in and gets it and passes it back to the point and on, you know, start the Calliope music again. Benny Hill, here they come, chasing the puck around. Where are Edmonton's wingers jumping into the faceoff circle to help out their centers on lost draws? I am not seeing it.
That's why Craig McTavish said he hired Dallas Aikens. Remember that? He said, I liked how his players were ready to go on the faceoffs.
Well, that's a nice thing to like. I'd like to be saying I like it too, but I'm not liking it because I'm not seeing it.
Okay, my number is 4. That's the number of major mistakes on scoring chances against by Ryan Spooner in his debut. Maybe they should have sat him.
They had no choice.
All right. he was not an auspicious beginning, Bruce. And he lost a faceoff. On the what was it? The third goal. Second goal. He loses the. Oh, he's just out of position. He and Cassian can't figure out who's supposed to take that point, man. And the guy gets off.
Sends one around the boards.
These guys are confused. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're confused because there's no set lines because everything's all wonky. Who knows? They're also Then he loses the faceoff, and not only that, he loses a battle in front of the net, and the guy puts in the rebound. And that was just that was where I really blame Spooner. Like that battle in front of you've got to win that. You know you can't lose that battle, and he did. So that was a real soft goal. So we won't hold it against him too
winner.
Much.
Yeah, he lost the draw because Newsweek go to the faceoff circle. Which, by the way, I'd like they don't track that in the play-by-play, but I bet you if you counted up the number of times Oilers were kicked out of the circle tonight, it was a lot.
Sounds like you're mad.
One of those games where they weren't getting many, many favorable decisions, let's put it that way. I'm not going to pitch on the officiating, but I'm a little sour, and I'm just going to leave it there. I knew you got kicked out of the draw, and Spooner went in, lost the draw, bam.
You are a little sour about these
things.
And the Larson penalty.
Losing to Calgary.
The Larson penalty was ridiculous. The lack of penalties against Tkachuk for his constant hijack. It's just ridiculous and disgusting. Like, come on. He's jumping on McDavid, and Draisaitl goes to pull him off, and Draisaitl gets a penalty there.
Gets the unsportsmanlike penalty, and then while they're scrumming around, Tkachuk punched Draisaitl.
Punching
at least
him
twice. They said five times on the radio. I saw two, and he just skates, and then he's out there on the power play.
At least they didn't score on that one. All right, Bruce. We've said a lot tonight. A lot's been said, especially by me tonight. With the old fire the coach thing, but that's where I'm at. So agree or disagree, that's where this Oilers fan is at, for what it's worth. Not a whole lot. I don't have a vote.
I'm biting my tongue on some F bombs. I'll just stay with the clef bombs because I do a polite family radio here. But these games like this are sent to try you. And this, then, I mean, it's a game where you get your blood up, right? I mean, the motion is such in these games right from the get-go. Like you badly want to beat those guys. In fact, you want to thump them. You want to take it to them and just pound them out of the end of the arena. In the end, it was the Oilers that got pounded out at the end of the arena. And as a fan, I find that extremely frustrating, especially from a leading position. It's just hard to swallow.
This, Bruce, I just don't want to see another season lost. Like, this season is not lost. There's this team's right in there. They've just got to get winning. They've got to get playing better. And I just think, let's see if someone else can do it. Nothing particularly against the coach, but he's been here 3 1/4 years. He's managed to get it together once. Let's just see. I want to see if someone else can take this team right now and do better with it, and not waste this chance at making the playoffs. I don't think that's acceptable. And I think that's my take.
He won't be fired before the next game. And the next game is, this is a tough one, man. We got a so-called home game, home ice advantage for the Oilers, where they play an intense, draining game on the road the night before at 8 p.m. and they come home to play at 6 p.m. the next night. The minimum allowed in the CBA is 22 hours between start times. And they're playing against an opponent that was sitting up here in Edmonton watching the Oilers and the Flames beat the crap out of each other while they rested it up in their hotel room. Now you tell me which team has the advantage tomorrow night. Anyway, they're going to have to find a way to dig deep and come out with a result of some kind, because a two-loss weekend just isn't going to cut it.
No. All right, Bruce, let's leave it there. Thanks for talking tonight.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. Hang in there. There'll be better times.
You think? And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.